superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Let me see your war face.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
With the Raiders being 2-0, we had to get Caliendo on the show.
I said, I'm going to make a video of Gruden just telling everybody, keep disrespecting Derek Carr.
Available now on the Rich Eisen Show app.
Derek Carr, average quarterback. We're looking for somebody else, man.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist Charles Woodson. Co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Coming up, Emmy Award winning actor Jeff Daniels. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number three of this radio and television program, sports and entertainment program, right here on NBC Sports on Peacock and NBCSN on cable and Sirius XM Radio and Terrestrial Radio, the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Hour number three is on the air. Charles Woodson, University of Michigan great and future Pro Football Hall of Famer, is on in hour number one. He was in the new stadium in Las Vegas on Monday night, watching the Raiders and the Saints as part of the show I'm hosting on Epix every single Wednesday night, an NFL Films produced show called NFL The Grind. Brett Favre was a correspondent in Tampa as well. That's where when you showed him when he showed up before the game dressed in that Tampa Bay T-shirt with Brady's face emblazoned on the orange Buccaneer logo. He was there for that show that airs tonight at 9 Eastern time. Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football was on. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Chris Brockman's news update on all the injury news that's going on in the NFL and all your sports news is coming up shortly. But I want to turn to the phone lines right now. Chatted with this man during the NFL draft as part of the draft-a-thon, helping raise money. A big fan of his work and pleased to have right here on the Rich Eisen Show in advance of the latest must-see of his acting career, the Comey Rule, a two-night event. Premieres on consecutive nights. First night is coming up this Sunday, and then Monday at 9 Eastern time on Showtime, the man who plays Jim Comey, the former FBI director, Jeff Daniels, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing fine, Rich.
I'm pleased to have you on this program. You know, last we spoke, you were feeling good about potentially your Lions season. I don't know. You want to talk about your work? Or you want to talk about the Lions, Jeff? What do you want to do first?
Well, let's get to the Lions first. They break your heart. They don't just lose.
Yes.
They lose and they break your heart doing so. It's just you can't be ahead 17-3 or whatever it was, or 23-6 or something. You just know if you lean towards we're going to win, you're going to get your heart broken. And you think we're cursed. I don't know, but it's getting difficult. It's getting real difficult.
Well, I mean, obviously week one was particularly troubling in the fact that it looked like you had everything all wrapped up. I guess when you say it breaks your heart, you're still with them, right? I mean, you're not going anywhere, right, Jeff?
Well, they're on in the background. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
It's hard to sit there, you know, leaning forward into the television set when you're going to get your heart broken. So sometimes you leave them on in the event that something crazy happens, like we're ahead by two touchdowns with 30 seconds to go, but still hang on. But generally, and these first two games, it's been the same thing. It's just like, and in the second half, we're going to break your heart.
Mm.
It's like, okay.
So who was your guy growing up? Who is the guy who got you falling in love, I guess, with the Lions or rooting for just watching football in general? Who would that be, Jeff?
I don't know why, but it was Gale Cogdill. He was a wide receiver for the Lions, I'm going to say late 60s.
Okay.
He was on the team with Alex Karras, Roger Brown, Wayne Walker, Milt Plum.
Okay.
You know, Nick Petrosante, I remember. Nitrane Lane, of course.
Right.
Yeah, those guys. When they were playing in Tiger Stadium, yeah.
So when you're...
Yeah, I went down for one of the Thanksgiving games. I sat in the end zone. I remember, it's one of my earliest memories. We were sitting in the end zone at Tiger Stadium. You remember it like a couple of snapshots.
So yeah. you and your family would go to Thanksgiving games, actual Lions games before
well,
having Thanksgiving.
Well, we did once. Okay. I remember once. I wouldn't say it was a regular thing.
Okay, yeah. So that's I've never heard of him before, Jeff. I got to be honest with you. I thought I might get somebody a little bit more, you know, famous for his work with the Lions or the National Football League. Who is this person again?
Yeah, I don't know why. I think his number was 89. I think I didn't remember the number. That was just when I was 8 years old and I had a football in the yard. I was Gale Cogdill.
Gale Cogdill. Is that right?
I think so. God, I hope it's at Googling, but I think
no, it is.
And that was, that's.
Yeah, he made three Pro Bowls in 60, 62, and 63.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm not an idiot.
No. We backed your play, Jeff.
34 career touchdowns.
Okay, there you go.
Okay,
and that's the guy who got Jeff Daniels loving the Lions. And now, to this day, you're living and dying with your Detroit Lions. Are you a Detroit sports fan across the board, or is it just the Lions for you?
Yeah, across the board. The Detroit Tigers are probably number one with the Lions a close second. The Red Wings were, and still are, you know, I love that team. The Pistons, I was never a basketball guy, so less so with them.
Okay, did you ever play football yourself, Jeff? Did you ever get that out?
High school. I was a high school, you know, small town high school, you know, stud. And as soon as you go against up kids with, from either bigger high schools or college, you realize that you need to major in theater.
Okay. Now, this is a very important question for me personally. Are you Michigan or Michigan State? Which one do you root for? Or none?
Semi-root for both. I went to Central Michigan University.
You're a Chippewa. You're a Chippewa. Dick Enberg went to Central Michigan, one of the all-time great announcers.
Did. Huh. Yes, he did.
Okay.
My kids went to State. On Saturday nights, I'd go to Ann Arbor as a kid.
Okay.
So other than that, there's really no affiliation.
There's no affiliation, because I'm a Wolverine, class of 1990, Jeff. So, and it's funny, I'm a New Yorker. I'm a New Yorker, and so going to Michigan, I'd never been in the Midwest in my entire life, quite honestly. And so when I would use the word sneakers or talk about having a soda, or just the simple thing of crossing the street and cars stopping for me because I'm walking in the street was just really weird for me. The whole experience was just seeing life as a different person than I did growing up on the East Coast, you know?
Yeah, it's a little different out here. Yeah. And when we see people like you from the East Coast, you tell us they're from the East Coast.
Yes.
We tend to stare at you a little bit longer. You know, you finish your sentence, and we go, yeah, that sounded almost intelligent.
I love it.
You coming from a mile away.
I know, and but then I would stare back when they're like, no, it's not soda, it's pop, it's not sneakers, it's tennis shoes, it's not sprinkles, it's Jimmy's. And then they would ask me, do I want a uke? And I thought that meant, do I want to actually vomit? I had no idea they were meaning a card game called euchre. Like, that was new for me, too. You know?
Yes, yeah, there's so much to learn,
I wish I'd known you back then. You could have helped me, get more acclimated. I've got Jeff Daniels here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tell me about the Comey rules, sir. What did you learn about Jim Comey? Did you learn anything that you might not have already known or you brought into working on this remarkable two-night event, Jeff?
Well, I think the audience is going to learn what I learned, which is what Jim was thinking. Particularly in October 2016, when the FBI reopened the investigation into Hillary's emails, you're going to understand why he did it. You may not agree with it still, but his decision. But he was between a rock and a hard place, and the movie shows him in that moment, and he has to decide between one or the other. Constantly, he was put in positions like that, you know, where it was just a tough call. And none of it had to do with being political. And that was the other thing I learned. Here's an apolitical guy. You know, he was a Republican, but now he's the FBI director. Doesn't vote because he can't, and he's not left and he's not right. And so when he makes a decision, his North Star is the rule of law, the institution that is the Department of Justice, truth, facts, and maintaining the integrity of the FBI. Those are the things that he looks at, and those things that are all bigger than he is, and that became his North Star, and that was I didn't know all that, and he doesn't think politically. He can't. He's not allowed to when he makes these decisions, even though everyone who is political is screaming at him for being political. He was an apolitical public servant. And he led the way for people like Fiona Hill, Marie Yovanovitch, William Taylor, Colonel Vindman, and others. Jim was like that first apolitical public servant that was thrown in front of this political nightmare that we're living, this divisive, polarized country that we are. Jim was thrown right in the middle of that, and he's going, I'm making the decision from an apolitical point of view. And people started screaming.
Did you meet with him prior to or during the shooting of this?
I met him during. I offered to meet him before. Mm-hmm. I was doing To Kill a Mockingbird, Atticus Finch on Broadway, and I was in the end of a year-long run.
Right.
And I emailed him once we got it. I emailed and said, you know, if you're in New York, you know where to find me. And because we were going to start shooting right after Mockingbird. And Jim emailed back. He was very nice, but he had no plans to come up to New York. I'd read the book, the audio book where Jim read it, YouTube, you've got all the film, you'd video you'd want on him. Even on the Colbert Show, you could see Comey's sense of humor. As an actor playing any character, that's a lot of material going in. So I didn't, you know, I offered to meet him, and he didn't, you know, we didn't. And so I didn't want to impose. I didn't want to be one of these actors who went down and ate dinner at his house so I could watch him eat dinner. I just didn't want to do that.
Right. Did you see that?
And then I met him. Then we were 2 months into shooting.
Yes.
And he showed up on the set. And that was, he watched the first two takes of the loyalty dinner between me and Brendan Gleeson, who plays Trump. And after two takes, Billy Ray, the writer-director, said, I want you to meet somebody. And, oh, God, there he is. And
you didn't know?
The first thing you realized that
You didn't know he was there watching.
I knew he was coming that day.
Right, right.
But the loyalty dinner was, you know, all hands on deck, all focus on that. So it was like, yeah, whatever, I'll meet him, whatever, I got to do this. But he did. He came around the corner. He'd been watching, and he had he said, you brought the emotion back, you brought the struggle, you brought everything I was thinking, like, what the hell am I supposed to say and do at this moment? He goes, I got to be honest, I feel a little nauseous. And usually when you tell an actor that their performance makes them nauseous, that's not a good thing.
Right.
But I took it as a compliment.
Yes, because you brought back all those moments right there. What do you think Trump's going to think of this if he's out there watching on Sunday and Monday?
Oh, he's going to hate it. He's going to hate it if he even pays attention to it. My hope is that he'll be too busy not preparing for the first debate to have time to watch.
Hey, okay. That's your hope on all that. Jeff Daniels here on the Rich Eisen Show. And again, the Comey rule is going to be available starting Sunday night and then Monday, two nights, 9 Eastern on Showtime. One of the things I want to just hit with you out of your whole career is terms of endearment, Jeff, because that's one of the first for you. Being on the set, Jack and Shirley MacLaine, for crying out loud. What was that like for you back in 1983 to be involved and play a character, spoiler alert, who's a bit of a heel? What was that like for you, Jeff?
It was, what's the phrase? Keep your eyes open and your mouth shut, your ears open, your mind, whatever. It was shut up. And I would go to the set on days that Jack would work when I wasn't supposed to work, just to watch him.
Really?
And I learned a lot. You know, you think Jack Nicholson comes in and is perfect right away. He's not. He's trying to figure it out. And as a young actor, I got to see this pro work the first take and the second take and the third take. And then he kind of becomes, and he says, I got it. And then they roll in and just take 4, 5, 6, 7. Those are the ones you use. It just was an education in film acting. I remember Jim Brooks, the director, said to Jack after a couple of takes, he goes, Jack, we got that. I want to try something a little crazy. I want to go out on a limb with something. And Jack said, I love going out on a limb. I get in trouble out there. And I, as a young actor, you're going, that's it. That's the thing. Risk failure. Risk it. And it was a great lesson. I learned a lot working with Jack in particular and everybody. I mean, it was you're a 28-year-old actor with Shirley Deborah and Jack Nicholson. I mean, what's wrong with this picture?
Right. And there was nothing wrong with that picture. I mean, the picture was it's perfect. It stands the test of time. And we've had so many actors from A Few Good Men in here. Kevin Bacon and Noah Wiley and Kevin Pollak. We've had Rob Reiner. And I asked them about that famous scene involving Jack Nicholson all the time. And they said that Nicholson would do his lines for everyone else when it was their turn to be on camera for that scene. And he did it the same exact way every damn time. And then he did it the same way for his.
That's what pros do. Jack, the fact that a Jack would do, there are many who don't. There are many who, once the camera's not on them, the script supervisor reads the lines because he's either gone home or that actor is, and that happens. That's what you learn in star school. But Jack, no. I mean, when you see a Jack do that or a Meryl Streep do that and it's full out off camera, that's what it's all about. And I learned that early too. And it's a great lesson. It's not just about you. It's about that other person in the scene with you. Make them great too. Give it to them.
Jeff Daniels here on the Rich Eisen Show. Again, the Comey Rule. I can't wait for everyone to see it. It's amazing. You're amazing in it. And I appreciate the call. And let me know if you want to run through some lines of a loyalty test for the Lions, if that's what you want to have, like a loyalty dinner for your Detroit Lions, if you need to ever do that, Jeff.
It may come to that, yes.
Well, we've got something. I don't know if you're not watching, but we are placing on the screen here to make sure everyone understands that you know what you're talking about. That's a Gale Cogdill football trading card that we're putting up on the screen right there. Number 89 in your program. Number one in your heart, Jeff. Right up there on our screen.
That's right.
There you go.
My heart's a flutter.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. Really appreciate it. And congrats in advance on the Comey Rule.
Thanks, Rich.
Right back at you. That's Jeff Daniels, @Jeff_Daniels, right here on the program. Okay, we'll take a break. Your phone calls, Chris Brockman, news update, and more. 844-204-RICH. We got a phone line or two open. If you want to give us a ring, we'll take it. That's how we're rolling here on this Wednesday. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. And it's the perfect way to rewatch a game like, say, Chiefs-Texans, the season opener from Thursday night. Catch it on NFL Game Pass. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is really the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, by the way, the reigning defensive player of the year, Devontae Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. It's the perfect way to follow an NFL season. NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com, G-E-I-C-O Peacock.com. We're back here on Peacock. The Detroit Lions, the love of Jeff Daniels' football life in Arizona, coming up this week. And that was the first matchup of Kyler Murray's career. If you remember, that game ended a tie in week one, Lions at Arizona. And Kyler Murray became that close to being the first number one overall selected quarterback in a draft to start game one as a rookie and win it. Last person to do it was David Carr, who received some company on Monday night in his own family of winning a first game in a new building for the team. David did that week one win as the number one overall quarterback in Houston against T.J. Jefferson's Dallas Cowboys.
You've forgotten that?
It's all good.
Did it happen?
Thank you.
It's so much stuff is going on.
Between then and now.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder and forget. I think, by the way, I pissed off O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Wow. Oh, I saw you go at him last night.
I didn't go at him.
Well, I mean, you responded to him. He
responded back. I don't think he's happy.
The tone inflection, I mean.
Did I have tone?
Remember, you can't read tone on Twitter.
It was like two words.
No, it wasn't two words. It was more than two words. It was more than that.
Okay.
Look, Lakers bigs got like...
We're back here on NBCSN and more, which is the most rewatchable movie, our poll question. That interview with Jeff went in a little bit of a different direction right there, so I didn't ask him this question. Which is the most rewatchable movie? What do you got over there, Chris, as it currently stands?
The most rewatchable movie out of Shawshank and... Remember the Titans. Both came out today.
Yes.
Man, crazy. 56% Shawshank.
There
right
you go.
Now.
All right.
It's close.
We were just talking on our Peacock-only minute plus that we come back before the NBCSN audience, and soon you'll be watching us exclusively on Peacock, and the commercial breaks are so quick, and what I'm saying is you get more Rich Eisen show when you stream it.
Pretty much.
Is that last night, our friend O'Shea Jackson Jr., who's the diehard Laker fan that he is, he said last night, I saw on Twitter, that Lakers must be watching too much ESPN, thinking they got this one in the bag is not the way to win, especially in the bubble. And so I responded with him saying, you laughed when I brought up the Nuggets the other day, but I put it in parentheses and I included a GIF of I think it's Clooney.
Clooney, yeah.
Ducking underneath a hedge. And he wrote back, I laughed because you guys can never let me just have my time. It's always, you better look out for this and that. I was told I was brought on for Clipper bashing. I think I legitimately pissed him off. Do we not let him have his time? I thought I'd let him just go off and say I was wrong, right?
He seemed happy.
He did his thing, and then you're like, okay, well.
But you understand, he was taking a lot of it on Twitter last night, so I wouldn't take it like.
No, I think he was hot. He was hot.
Yeah, he was hot.
And I just jammed in there when he was really hot.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I had put the GIF of Clooney ducking behind that hedge.
Look, I mean, I get it. It's understandable,
He did vent about how the Clippers were nothing.
Yep, sure did.
And then you basically paid homage to Kobe in Los Angeles by saying you're going to root for the Lakers, even though that's very difficult for you to say, and he gave you kudos for that.
What else can I say?
Nice high register.
Way high register.
And then I then responded, but well, then the Nuggets are coming, and that's when he
snickered at Jamel.
He dismissed Denver pretty easily. Just brushed him aside.
Well, he saw him last night. At Jamal Murray, man.
I'd be mad, too, if my team's big men got four more rebounds than everyone sitting in this room.
How about Anthony Davis having zero rebounds through three quarters
into
of that
the
game?
Fourth, yeah. Yeah.
You would figure that? You would just, like, a rebound would fall in your lap.
Right.
Right, just by accident.
Yeah, just like, it would just land in your hands.
I just got two boards during the break.
Yeah, I know. I saw them. They were great. Real impressive.
Yeah.
Good box out.
Yeah, and again, like I said at the top of the show, if Grant shows up and becomes like the third man in, like they get a third guy that you need to double at one point they did last night. Like if he does that.
And if Joker's hitting these like 20 feet off his back foot, jump, like those Dirk-esque jumpers from Jokic.
It seems like he's coming as close as there is to a skyhook. You know what I mean? Like,
there's a lot of talk of him being, you know, the modern Arvydas Sabonis.
Really?
Just the way this dude plays. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
The way he passes, the way he moves.
You can't say the modern. You got to go present day Arvydas, right? It's not like Arvydas is an old gen guy, right?
Mid-90s.
He's not my Arvydas. He's not your Arvydas. He's Arvydas. Arvydas.
Yeah, I mean, one of the Kilbourne's finest. In the mid-80s, though. So.
Gus Ramsey's finest.
Yeah, we got to see Arvydas at the end of his career when he finally came over to play in the NBA.
Right.
I would imagine this is what Arvydas looked like playing in the 80s.
But bigger.
Yeah.
He was 7'2", like 280.
Let's take some phone calls and get to your news update, okay, Christopher?
You got it.
Terry in Tampa, Florida. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Terry?
Hey, Mr. Rich. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
If you're not the best at what you do, I don't know who is.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that, man. That's me. That's
well,
that's
you
cool.
And your three right-hand men, are the banter is awesome.
Thank you. That's what we try to do here is just have a good time, and hopefully you're enjoying what you're hearing and calling in with what's on your mind today.
Well, Jeff Daniels has got to be one of our most underrated actors. If you go on Wikipedia and you look at his filmography, this dude is way underrated.
Well, I mean, that's why I brought up Terms of Endearment. And then, you know, he was in Pleasantville. Did you ever see that, Pleasantville?
Oh, yeah.
He was great in that. Obviously, Purple Rose of Cairo is one of, you know, Woody Allen's underrated. But he played an actor who, you know, came off the screen, like an old movie actor who came off the screen and was living his life in real world. And then, you know, Dumb and Dumber, which I didn't bring up right there, because how do you go from Jim Comey to Dumb and Dumber? You know, I mean, I don't know how I could make that turn, to be honest with you. You know, I just couldn't. I couldn't make that turn, you know.
But, you know, my favorite was The Newsroom, which was only a couple of years, which should have gone on for twice as long.
I agree. And thank you for the call. And, you know, the connective tissue between A Few Good Men, Jack Nicholson, A Few Good Men, and The Newsroom is because Aaron Sorkin wrote The Newsroom. There were times where Susie and I would watch The Newsroom and go, that just is not real. That is not real.
That's not how people talk in the newsroom.
That's not how the way they communicate in the newsroom.
That's
a lot of pitter patter. Like, it was
show.
Tough to buy.
Yeah.
Not his character.
Not his character. Everyone else.
His character rang true to Susie and I. His character did. I would proffer to say his character's got KO in there.
I would.
Keith Olbermann.
I would 100% think that. Because that was kind of at the height of Keith's MSNBC
show.
And his monologues each day.
Right. Yeah, and then the way that he would hear stuff in his ear and it would come out of his mouth is stuff that Keith would be able to do.
Mm-hmm. Everyone else.
But yeah, so the newsroom, we just. But he was amazing.
He was great on that show.
He's amazing. Will McAvoy, and he won an Emmy for it. Mm-hmm. Outstanding lead actor in a drama series in 2013. So that was excellent right there. Let's go to Matthew in New York. He's been holding on for an hour and a half. What's up, Matthew? What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to ask what y'all think the Giants were thinking in signing Freeman, if it was more to flat-out replace Saquon or just kind of,
you know what?
Create a committee.
This is a great question
that they'll now have.
I will always shoot everybody straight. I don't know. I did not even go for him in fantasy because it's very difficult to be at ATC, the phrase that I learned from Terrell Davis, at the crib to a game. You know, obviously you can run some plays and be able to know, you know, your Devontae Freeman's football IQ is enough for him to get out on the field, one would think, against San Francisco coming up this weekend for the Giants and press him into service right away. But I have no idea. Like, will he come off the couch and be like a 1,000-yard rusher? It's possible. I don't know. It's going to take some time, I imagine. But the idea is that this guy was, you know, one of, what was it, Chris? Like 2 years ago, he was the highest paid running back
highest
in the league,
running
right?
Back, $10 million.
And then this year, he did, if I'm not mistaken, knock on Seattle's door or vice versa, and nothing happened there. But I think if I had to guess,
offered him a little more money even
right.
If
I had to guess, Matthew, that the Giants will, when we look back, be fortunate that he was sitting there having no job. That's the way I'll look at it.
Okay.
That's the way I'll see it.
Interesting.
Thanks for the call. I just don't know. Wayne Gallman, Deion Lewis. Gallman was a healthy scratch in Chicago.
Yeah, Deion Lewis has that familiarity with Joe Judge from their New England days.
Right, but this is a Garrett offense. It's
true.
Like, it's not like Joe is the true one, you know.
And I would say I wouldn't expect Freeman to replace Barkley. Freeman's 28, Barkley's 23. I would say Saquon's maybe closer to a Adrian Peterson situation. Blown up knee, rehabs, comes back a year later and is still great running back.
I'm not concerned about.
I'm not closing the book on Saquon.
Oh, is he asking me about Freeman, you know?
Possibly replacing Saquon.
No. They just need him. They need him.
They need Saquon to be healthy.
They need Freeman to get. There's 14 more games left this season.
Yeah, this season's not over for the Giants.
And it makes sense. Devontae Freeman, who has some significant success in this league, is sitting at home. You go get him. I mean,
yeah,
for sure.
For sure.
All right, let's get Chris Brockman's news update right here in the middle of our Wednesday, or right in the middle of the week at the very end of our Wednesday show. Hit it, please.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, guys, just running down some of these NFL injuries. Devontae Adams, Packers wide receiver, dealing with a hamstring. He's not going to practice today, so keep an eye on that the rest of the week. 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan said Nick Mullins will most likely start week three against the Giants. 49ers also placed Tevin Coleman on injured reserve, so he's going to miss at least three games, as is Christian McCaffrey. He officially got placed on IR today. Timetable on him was 4 to 6 weeks anyway, so the IR thing is expected. Dirk Cutter, Falcons offensive coordinator, found this interesting. You know, Julio Jones only had 2 catches last week against Dallas. He believes there's more to Julio's hamstring injury than he let on.
Is that right?
So Julio might be severely hurting. So if you can go get Russell Gage in fantasy, that's the guy. He's had a big
Imagine that he's available in any league right now.
Probably not. Giants placed Sterling Shepard on IR with a toe injury. He's going to miss 3 weeks.
McCaffrey got put on IR, right?
Yeah. And right. Jonathan Abram saw that scary situation where he ran into the cart. And then it looked like he was down for the count and then popped right up. Well, he's being evaluated, undergoing tests for a right shoulder injury. Result of that scary situation.
That was really
why was the cart so close to the field?
You got me, man.
It was weird and scary for a second, so hopefully he's okay. All right, some NBA news. Game 4 tonight, Boston and Miami, of course. So we're going to wonder when the next season starts, though, when all this bubble stuff ends. And Adam Silver talked to Bob Costas about that.
My best guess is that even though, as you said, it'll be the 2021 season, that season won't start until 21. We said a week ago or so that the earliest we would start is Christmas of this year. But the more I'm learning, even listening to Dr. Fauci this morning, I continue to believe that we're going to be better off getting into January. The goal for us next season is to play a standard season, to your other part of your question, 82-game season and playoffs. And further, the goal would be to play games in home arenas in front of fans.
Yeah, I mean, that is...
the lofty goal.
Yeah, I know. It's going to require people getting vaccinated. And before that, if short of that, it'll require rapid testing. Like, hey, fans, the same way that you go through security at a Super Bowl, like come early, you go to the game, show up a half an hour before the game, you go and get rapid tested. I mean, that's literally going to be the way of life for a long time. That's the way it's going to be for large indoor events if that's what the NBA is going to do. And the NBA has been at the forefront of testing. You know, the saliva test that they
– yeah.
The rapid saliva test that they were using in the bubble is something that is now going to be
even though
pushed out wider.
Wristband technology they've been using down there.
So they're at the forefront of it. And when he said 2021 season, he wasn't starting in 2021. It's the 2020-2021 season starting in January. I bet you future NBA seasons that we will look back and say that the pandemic, one of the things that it changed in sports, not just the way that fans have to enter an arena or enjoy an indoor sporting event, is that the NBA will be a Christmas to
summer
league. Yeah. And that future, if you will, summer leagues will be going down right now. Will be coming off of, you know, free agency might start right now.
So it'll be
the draft will be late August.
Like fall league in Las Vegas, not the
maybe.
Summer
yeah.
League.
Yeah. 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 And that, you know, Thanksgiving Day belongs to the NFL, but maybe if you want to even push it back, like Christmas Day
is opening day
for the NBA. And
I'll
then
tell,
you run
I'll tell you what.
Then you run it through the summer.
Yeah.
And then you own the summer and then the early fall.
Right.
You know, your NBA playoffs are happening, coming to a crescendo with Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, NBA playoffs over the summer to kind of the doldrums of the baseball season. Sign me up.
I think that's the way it would. If I just had a
I think sign
crystal
me up.
Ball it.
Sign me up for that.
Because if you're going to go start the next season and you want to have fans and, you know, again, the bubbling up is going to be something. I can't wait to read books about it and read about it. Okay,
the 30 for 30.
All of it will just be like the famed bubble of the NBA because you can't do it. You can't do it for 6 months. You just can't. You just can't. And I don't want to hear asterisks. I don't want to hear it. Same thing with baseball too. I know you've given up on the season.
Yeah,
or it's
sure.
been different, and it feels weird. It feels weird when there are
it's weird
where you don't
it's
know
weird.
If it you know how many games are being made up and when and that certain
yeah,
doubleheaders
are
seven
so
innings long,
yeah.
seven innings it's long, weird. And I think what this MLB season has shown is the starting extra innings with the runner on second base stinks. I don't like it at all.
Nah, it stinks.
Like and that. When baseball does return, just let the games go. It's too bad. Like, forget about pace of play in terms of the amount of extra innings. I don't like that guy on second. I don't like it at all.
Me neither.
You know, because it totally changes the tenor.
Mm-hmm. Suddenly there's a guy in scoring position.
I'll equate it this way. I know that college football fans love the overtime. I think the overtime in college football stinks because it does not include the kicking game at all. I mean, it's an important phase. I know that everyone
Three
thinks
phases.
I'm the punter guy and the kicker guy, and I you know, Pat McAfee and I are locked arms on for the brand, but it removes the kicking game. So you're going to basically say, for time purposes, let's just put someone in scoring position and put the pressure on the pitcher, and then suddenly everyone's going to play the game differently. You play the game differently.
Yeah, I'm not.
Like, sure. You know what I mean? Like, the first guy's going to bunt the guy over to third base. Or, you know, however you can get the guy from second base to third base is important. And then, you know, you execute it or it happens to perfection for you. And then you have somebody like Joe West put the runner back on second base and call the guy out at home like he did last night in Philadelphia because the guy's follow through on the swing hit the catcher who's now standing up to throw the player out at third.
Joe West has got to go.
Oh, my God. Joe West trended last night.
No.
So I'm going down a Joe West wormhole to answer something from the NBA. But what I'm saying is it is not feasible to bubble up the NBA other than this
for the
one
full
time.
Season. For 82 games.
Do you think any player who's been through all of this and coach who's been through all of this want to do this again?
No.
No.
Not one bit.
not one bit.
Like, even though we know this is the only way it could have been done, and it is, knock on wood, still successful and still holding up, do you think an NBA player, an NBA coach who showed up in late June, early July, and is making it all the way through to the NBA Finals, do you think they'd want to do that again? No. You're already hearing that Major League Baseball players are like, why are we bubbling up for the playoffs? Like, let's just... And I'm already hearing in the NFL, like, they don't want to bubble up for the playoffs. They're already bubbled up in their facilities.
Right.
Let's test every day. Let's stay home. Let's be smart about it. We'll just basically bubble up in a hotel for a month for as long as we're in the playoffs. So I think the NBA is going to have to, could even wait longer than January. I mean, that's, don't you think that's pie in the sky to, as we're currently sitting here right now and knowing about testing and the availability of testing and tracing and how,
I would say January,
how it's working in the country
ambitious.
And how, don't you think that, hey, fans can show up in Staples and go there?
I think that's ambitious. I think January is ambitious. Unlikely, in my opinion.
Do you have anything else?
Yeah, two more things. The Bulls named Billy Donovan head coach.
I thought that's a great hire.
Big win for the Chicago. Big win.
Bulls fans are fired up.
They should be. I mean, he should be the Clippers' new coach, right, TJ?
Oh. Did you just say that?
Is this thing on?
It is.
Is this on?
TJ, would you do that? Would you want that?
I couldn't hear what he
okay.
said.
Okay. He thinks Billy Donovan should be the new Clippers coach.
I didn't know if this thing was working.
No. You know, like I said, I know what I said the other day.
It was first blush anger, right?
It was first blush anger, but I something that you said kind of gave me an idea for 2021.
What's that?
I'm kind of debating on whether for 2021 I should give all of my teams a little bit of a break and go into the season, the 2021 year, as a free agent. For every sport.
Well, again, you're talking as a Met, Clipper, Sixer.
Cowboy.
Really? You're going to leave the Cowboys? I understand you want to leave the Mets. I get it.
Well, yeah, the Mets are kind of, we're doing all right so far.
Oh, by the way, you just went higher register. They're still in that mix. That's why
they're
that call
the
on
mix.
The Phillies last night was, the Phillies are living and dying. They're on the cusp here.
Yeah, so baseball, Braves and Dodgers clinch division. Cubs and Indians clinch playoff berths. The Indians did it on a walk-off home run last night.
I mean, look at that. I mean, the Phillies are just, let me do the math here, a game and a half behind the Marlins to get in as one of the top two in the East, and they are a game behind the Brewers to get in as the second spot in the wild card, and only they're just two in the loss behind the Brewers and a game behind the Reds. The way it works is they're a game behind both based on, you know, the Marlins have only played 55.
Yeah.
Because of what happened back in August. Meanwhile, yeah, pop up the AL right here. Everything's clinched in terms of divisions for the exception of the Astros, but that's a mere formality because the Angels just couldn't get it together, man. Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, the Angels are 3.5 behind they're 3.5 behind the Astros right now to try and get in as either the second in the West or 3.5 behind the Blue Jays is a wild card. So there's that. The Blue Jays are going to make it.
Probably.
That'll be fun, too,
they're an
by
exciting
the way.
Team, yeah. They're...
Blue Jays, White Sox. You want to talk about a bunch of young deer running around
series,
there?
Aspirations, yeah. And then real quick, guys, both head coaches for Monday Night Football were fined for mask violations. $100K for Sean Payton and John Gruden, $250K to the teams.
Yeah, man. The NFL's not messing around. I saw Del Tufo's tweet that if the country had done that back in March, there would actually be fans in the stands. He's tweeting stuff from his job setting up the boxing matches and stuff like that.
Well, at least it's good to know that it's not just our job that he doesn't pay attention to.
It's every job.
At least he's consistent.
Okay, more phone calls, and we'll set up our guest schedule for the rest of this week here on the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Peacock, NBC, SN, Sirius XM, Terrestrial Radio quadcast of the Rich Eisen Show.
Sports keep coming back.
so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Back here on Peacock, IAmAVoter.com, RiseToVote.com, RockTheVote.com. Those are three nonpartisan sites to not only register to vote, but to make sure you're registered to vote, and also to find out what the best way and the best manner for you to vote is, where polling sites are, mail-in ballots. It's so different from state to state. Some states require your ballot to be delivered by a certain time, postmarked by a certain time. The state of Pennsylvania, if you want to read up on it, also is a manner in which you have to put your ballot into an envelope inside another envelope, and if it is not, it may not be counted. There are many ways that you have to figure out and plan to vote. Early voting has started now, so make a plan and vote, and check out your status and terms of your state as well at any of these sites on your screen. We're back here on NBCSN. I'll just repeat what I just told the Peacock audience. Go to IAmAVoter.com, RiseToVote.com, RockTheVote.com. Just three nonpartisan sites to determine, A, if you are already registered to vote, B, to register to vote if you need to, and then C, learn all about voting in your state. Every state has different rules and different concepts as to what applies as a rule. There are lots of lawsuits going on right now in advance of Election Day, which has already begun in certain states. Many states have already begun early voting. You have to know by when you send in your mail-in ballots for it to be counted. You have to know how to place it, certainly in the state of Pennsylvania. For those who are listening to me and watching me right now in Pennsylvania, learn about how your ballot must be placed in an envelope, inside another envelope, for it to be counted. There's many different ways that your vote needs to be delivered in order for your vote to you to know that it will be counted. So, Election Day's already begun, and because so many mail-in ballots are going to be delivered, it'll take a while to figure out how Election Day is won or lost. Make sure that you're set on all that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. Patrick in Baltimore, you're here. Let's take your call. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Keep up. Keep talking about making sure everybody goes out and votes.
Thank you. I'll do that.
Thank you. I heard you guys talking earlier about, I wasn't sure if it was a poll question today or later, about Stephen King adaptation.
It is. That's it. Yep. What do you got?
And I got to say, for The Shining, just a legendary movie, not just in a genre, but overall film. But it is also a terrible adaptation. It doesn't, like, the first 100 pages of the book, it follows really closely, and then the last 600 pages of the book, it doesn't do anything like it. It's a terrible adaptation.
So,
but also a classic movie.
Yeah, I know. Well, I guess that's the word, is like, how do you view adaptation? Does it need to hew specifically to the book, or does adaptation mean this version of it, so it's adapted for film? I mean, spoiler alert, one of the greatest sports movies of all time, The Natural, is based on a book by the author Bernard Malamud. Spoiler alert, I can't say that enough. It is a totally different ending. In the book, Roy Hobbs takes the money. And the end of the book is
that.
Roy Hobbs. Yes, in the book by Bernard Malamud, the Roy Hobbs character, played by the bright shining light that is Robert Redford, takes the money, and a kid says to him on the streets, "Say it ain't so, Roy.
That's the way the natural ends in the book. Now then, totally different. I guess it hews, if you will, to the book. The movie does for much of it, but the last 20, 30 pages, not at all. And you could say it's a better movie than a book because you kind of like that feeling that Roy hits the home run, doesn't take the movie, saves the franchise, and is thrown in the field with his son at the end, right?
Absolutely. And yeah, so I would think the term adaptation means more of how true it stays to the book or the original source material. But either way, The Shining's a classic.
All right, thank you for the call. What's a poll question as it currently stands on that, Chris?
Yeah, Shawshank, first Remember the Titans. Oh, you know, I didn't even put up the other one yet.
Oh, you didn't?
Well, no, I didn't. 56% Shawshank, 44% Remember the Titans. Let me do the other one right now.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing is, if I'm not mistaken, Remember the Titans does not hew to the
Remember
actual.
The Titans,
like that. It's way off.
It's way off. Yeah, based on a true story, there was a team, and they went through this, but that's about it.
And people should go look in our Rich Eisen Show archives at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Because, as you know, I hate Notre Dame football. And I'm so, you know, I think my budding relationship with NBC Sports and how it's a great place for me to work and ply the Rich Eisen Show craft is the fact that, as you know, NBC is the home of Notre Dame football.
They are.
Okay? And they, I haven't heard one boo or a peep with me using this real estate on NBCSN and now Peacock at NBCSN by proclaiming what an absolute total fraud Rudy is, in my estimation, because, and there he is being carried off the field. I understand he got carried off the field. But the fraud that I have is like, as if your love for your school and your love for football has a much more lush history and a connection that is a warming inside, like that for you is a lot more sacrosanct than mine. It just rubs me the wrong way. Okay. And you know, I feel that at Rudy, they made a much bigger deal of him being carried off the field. And the whole business of we're not playing if he's not, like, let's put our jerseys on the desk of Dan Devine, right?
Yeah, that never happened.
In real life, Dan Devine said he would have kicked everyone off the team if they'd done that. So I said basically that no film has ever put more heavy lifting on the word based in a true story than Rudy. And I love Hoosiers as a sports film. So we had the director of both movies. It's the same director of both movies. David Anspaugh is the director of both movies.
Right.
Yeah, and Angelo Pizzo wrote both movies.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the same musical score was provided by the same, from both movies, is provided by the same guy, if I'm not mistaken. So they're cut from the same makers. And I had David Anspaugh on, and he said that Rudy's more of a PBS documentary compared to Hoosiers.
I know. Broke your heart.
Broke my heart.
Yeah, it broke your heart. Yeah.
Like in a million pieces.
I know.
Like Fredo broke Michael's heart, like in a million pieces. Like
I knew it was you.
Well, because he said that they sent, you know, that David Anspaugh sent Angelo Pizzo into the town of, you know, Mile, where Mile and High took place.
Right.
In Indiana, the story that it's based on the true story of that small school in Indiana that won it all. They changed it to Hickory. And he said that the writer called him up and said, we don't have a story here. There's nothing here.
Nothing
like, what do you
here.
Mean? Like the biggest,
nothing
the
here.
Biggest scandal was one kid didn't. Ran some laps after practice. Like, it's all totally pure. There's no, it's boring. Like, they just.
Like Pleasantville.
Yeah, right. So, everything you see in the film is essentially made up. Coach Dale and his battle and his story and.
Yeah, not really.
Dennis Hopper and all that. All of it. The picket fence, the gum chewing, Dentine. Breaks my heart.
Tough.
So the question is adaptation. Like, what is the application, is it got to be true to everything, or you're adapting it? Because if it's true to everything, I know The Shining wouldn't win that, excuse me, that poll question.
Right.
But if it's in terms of the version, how do you not go with Kubrick? I want to thank today's guests, Charles Woodson, Kyle Brandt, and Jeff Daniels. On tomorrow's show, we have Ryan Tannehill of your Tennessee Titans on the program.
Okay.
Right? Colin Quinn, the comedian, as well, will be on. Devin Bush of the Pittsburgh Steelers will be on tomorrow's show as well. On Friday's show, Desus and Mero will be on, along with our friend Aaron Rodgers. That's how we're rolling the rest of the week.
Heard of him. Big game.
Final poll results, anything?
Well, the adaptation one that I just put up, The Shining's running away with it.
Okay, because I put my thumb on the scale, huh? Thanks for taking in this edition of the Rich Eisen Show on a Wednesday that ran the gamut from real to sports world, which appears to be set to collide once again. We will see you on Thursday's program right here on the Quadcast.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.